This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I hope you had a fabulous weekend, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us. If you're joining us for the first time, woohoo, welcome. Not a great thing when we talk about taxes for a lot of people. Some people, they're getting a refund, they feel good about their year, or they kind of paid along the way. Others are in pure panic. You know how it is. It's one of those things, right? Death and taxes. And, well, you know, you gotta pay the taxes, or you don't, and then you gotta face the consequences, which we know there are many famous cases where people have been nipped by taxes. I've said this before, I think, and I'll go deeper into this. We'll do a week where we explore other options, but, and it's not gonna happen in my lifetime, but I like the idea of a fair tax, or maybe even a flat tax. I've talked to enough people about different options, and I think there are some other ways to do this. But anyway, what is interesting when you do get a tax refund, the average federal income tax refund is smaller this year, but it's still almost $3,000 for a lot of people. So that's a little bit of a financial boost. I mean, it's your money, but it's a financial boost. So think about that. And one of the things that I read everywhere, and anybody in the financial business will tell you, is that, listen, a tax refund is a time where you're getting this large sum of cash, so use it wisely and dump some of it in a fund or someplace where you can use it as an emergency savings account or just pay down debt. I think people already have it earmarked. That's what I think. Like, okay, this was taken out, so now I got to pay this car loan, I got to pay this, I got to pay that. Maybe somebody uses it as kind of a vacation thing, like, okay, I'm going to pretend it's like a savings account. I'm not sure because I'm in the ower category. Yes, that's right, Delaney Media Group. So it's a whole different ball game for me and for many small business owners, which is the backbone of this country. Yay! I got a lot of emails from small business owners about some of the woes and the red tape. I hear you. In Fort Lauderdale, they're not so much worried about tax day. They're worried about snakes, gators, anything you can find in some of the terrible water that they had to deal with. And there's still dangers from that high water afterwards, right? It was a monumental flooding ordeal that inundated that coastal area, hurricane sort of rainfall. Well, it was hurricane rainfall, a 1,000-year event. They were pumping water out all over the place, still doing it. 34 pumping trucks across the city after the rain exceeded 2 feet, shut down a major airport, schools, all kinds of offices, obviously, for several days. Buildings are flooded, cars, highways, and there's lots of people that are they're not going to be able to go back to work for who knows how long, a couple of days, a week, longer than that. I mean, you got animals in these floodwaters. Think about it, right? If you remember, for all the people listening in Louisiana, you totally can relate to this. Remember the alligator that was suspected of attacking that 71-year-old man in Hurricane Ida floodwaters back just a couple of years ago? And they captured an alligator weeks later, and they found what looked like human remains in its stomach, and his wife talked about him being dragged off the porch. Oh, that made the hair on my arms raise up. So, okay, it was a rare and extreme rainfall event that hit South Florida, and it happens less than 2 months away from the start of the Atlantic hurricane season, which, can you believe it, is June 1st. So a lot of people are saying, look, this is worse than we would see in a hurricane. And there was, you know, 250 calls for help to the fire departments, 900 calls a day that were coming into 911 lines, all of this. So obviously it's a major setback for Fort Lauderdale, and there's shelters and people were busy there and people are cleaning out houses, and it's a nightmare. It's something that nobody wants to go through. And again, it's just another reminder. I've said this before because I've been in this situation where I just poo-pooed, I'm being honest. Oh, I don't have to get, you know, I can grab things if something happens. Yeah, I can grab things. Not anymore. Now I have a to-go bag. I know whatever I have, boom, I'm out. There's some weird thing that happens and I have to evacuate. We don't have to panic trying to dig up. Remember that person? And who do we have to call? And what about this insurance? And yeah, that's the last thing you need when you're in the middle of a crisis. And so every time these things happen, it's weird. It's like it's one of the first things, of course, human life, the most important. But one of the first things I think about is, gosh, I hope these people had their things together, because it gives you a little bit, I think, a little bit anyway, peace of mind. Right. I mean, you're still going through it. But I think you definitely have more of a peace of mind. All right. Hey, coming up on this show, some great people, some wonderful conversations. Thomas Fatu Sheets joins us. Candace Shipley joins us. Scott and Susan Harden. Imagine a couple writing a book together, putting that piece of that book together, and the research that they had to do a la Viking world. Anyway, all of that is coming up in just a few minutes here, but a few other things that have happened. NRA, they had their big deal, and what was really interesting, you know, because they have a huge convention. So they held their convention in Indianapolis, and what was interesting is you had Donald Trump who spoke, and you also had Mike Pence, so the former president, the former VP, who both are running on the, we think anyway, Pence running on the Republican side of things for 2024. So lots of GOP candidates visited the NRA and some different political positions that they're personally in, you know. So interesting to watch, because you have such a massive, massive crowd at this yearly thing. So in other words, you know, this is a crowd. This is certainly a crowd that could vote for any of these candidates. And to see both of them there, I just think that was the ironic thing, right? You know, just very, very ironic to see that. And then you have Ron DeSantis, who's expected to announce a 2024 candidacy after the Florida legislature adjourns in May. So we'll see. I would be surprised if he doesn't. I mean, that has to be the reason why he's traveling across the country. Ah, and it happened, the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays. If you were following this story, they were making history because they hadn't lost since the start of the baseball season. And all good things come to a close. So they end up with this historic win streak ending at 13 wins. And then the Blue Jays gave them their first loss. But those are wins that they'll be able to put in their back pocket for later in the season. And it's certainly, because it's hard getting fans out to the trop, they call it Tropicana Field. People complain, and it's indoors, and you have people from all over the place, and that kind of thing. And they certainly stirred up a lot of fandom. So maybe they'll catch a wave, and more people will go out and support them. But it was interesting to see the coverage that they got, and good for them. It's hard. Any streak is hard. So that's a very, very big streak. And of course, everybody's talking about Jack Teixeira. Leaked documents, could get 15 years. The 21-year-old. We'll be talking about it more this week. Stay with us.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Steal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Author's Corner with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight. A conversation with Thomas Fitzhugh Sheets. His book, On That Day, a trilogy. Boy, we had a great off-air conversation. He is so fascinating to me, some of the things that he's done, including the fact that in Virginia, he has a beef cattle operation. Yes, so think about that. That's always fascinated me. Thanks so much for hopping on with us, Thomas.
You're welcome. Glad to talk with you.
So, first of all, before we dive into your book, tell us about your farm and how that all came about and what you do.
Well, I guess it keeps me close to the earth. My grandfather was kind of a gentleman farmer and had a farm nearby where I'm at. And I grew up around cows, and he also had horses, but I, some of the members of the family became horse people. I became a cow person. So this is a beautiful time of the year. The grass is real green. Some of the wildflowers are coming up. I saw some poppies this morning. The buttercups are coming up. The daisies will be later, but it's just a beautiful time of year.
Nice. All right. So, you know, you're also passionate about your faith, and you've written a couple of different books, and this is a different one, On That Day. So tell me about the trilogy and what people can expect when they read your book.
On that Day is actually three books. The first one, and I wrote these without realizing that it was going to become a trilogy, but each book seemed to follow the other. The first one is The Death of the Promise, which is the living in the promise of salvation had died in the Jewish culture when Jesus came. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, and the Pharisees believed that not only did they believe in the resurrection, they believed that they possessed what was promised, and at the moment they died, they went into the age to come, which would we would call heaven.
And then you take it from there. So you go from there. So you said it, just one followed the other. So then where do you take us after that?
Right. Into the resurrection of the promise based on the idea that if Jesus doesn't come out of the grave, the promise dies with him. So It's all about God's promise to Abraham to that he had the power to raise the dead.
And your book, you and I talked about this off the air. Part of what made you write this book, or part of what was rattling around inside you, was that this is a book that would certainly help people who have kind of lost touch with their faith, right?
I think so. There's an awful lot of people who have become disillusioned with their church experience. And they're told that if they believe that they have eternal security, and the moment they die, they go to heaven. And this basically is counterproductive for the church membership. And I became disillusioned, just like a lot of people have, with the church. And a pastor friend of mine, I was talking to him at a meeting, and we discussed my disillusionment, and he was had the same thing going on in his brain. In fact, he was so disillusioned with the church that he believed that the church was apostate. And he was part of a writer's group, and he suggested that I write a book. And I started journaling and eventually wrote the book, The Road to Restoration. And I believe my three books that followed that, by the way, that wasn't very well written. But the three books that followed that are me relating a journey of faith, the faith of the first century church, and it is the road to being restored to paradise.
And I mean, writing these books, how does that make you feel? That has to be a good feeling for you because of what you were finding in your own disillusionment.
Well, yes, ma'am. That is probably the biggest blessing in this, is that I feel now like I was chosen by God to do this, to try to refocus the church on not on what's past, but what's in the future, that Jesus was, is, and will come as the righteous judge. And we should see him as the righteous judge coming for an accounting of what we did with what we were given.
And so I think you're saying it there, but when people get any of your books, you know, any of the books that you mention, and this book on that day, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble or any place where good books are sold. What do you hope they take away from reading your book?
Well, what God developed in me is what I consider to be the most important thing that I got out of it, is I am a witness to the faith of the first century church. Their faith was in the promise that Jesus made them, that he was coming back as the righteous judge. And so their faith was in the promise more than the person, which was the faith of Abraham.
Yeah, and of course that's what you so explore in the book. So the pastor friend of yours and the writing group and people around you, what do they think of the books that you put out? They have to feel some pride, I would think, in that.
Well, some of them do, but not all of them, because I am challenging a belief system that has come down through us to us from hundreds of years, and I think it's the instant gratification crowd that don't want to wait on their salvation. They want it right now. And so the instant gratification crowd, I believe, say this towards the end of my first book, which is not part of the trilogy, that they have hijacked our church.
Yeah, so it goes back to that adage that could be applied here, patience is a virtue.
Absolutely. And I believe that the same thing that's going on in the church for hundreds of years is now going on in our country. The instant gratification crowd has hijacked our country.
Boy, there's so much we could talk about there. Thomas Fitzhugh Sheets, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with everything. And again, you can get any of the books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, just a couple of minutes left in the show. We talked about what it was like in Florida being underwater, not the whole state, obviously. It's Fort Lauderdale. Crazy to see the video and the pictures of runways, just couldn't even navigate. But more important, the people who were waterlogged when you have almost 25 inches of rain in some parts and at least 9 to 10 in other parts where you're talking about Hollywood or Miami and navigating around that. And then all that dirty, horrible water and just houses ruined, flooded out, all kinds of things, apartments and houses and schools, and wow, amazing how many people were affected. Thank goodness, to our knowledge, nobody lost their life in all of that, because it could have been even more disastrous. All right, as we go from the flood of Florida to Mega Millions, and nobody claimed yet the big ticket for Mega Millions, but somebody's won it, and it's somebody in New York. $476 million, that was what the lottery was up to. And I always say this because the chances of winning it to me are so insane. And I think that would be one of the first things that would have to hit your mind when you win a jackpot like that. One in 302 million. That's the chances. One in 302 million. Can you believe it? Wow. All right, and speaking of chances, I want to mention this again. Wow, the Tampa Bay Rays, if you're a baseball fan or just a fan of streaks and those sorts of things, they went all the way to 13 straight wins before they finally lost to Toronto. And I think the good news is, because it's hard for them to really get the fans to come out, Tropicana Field is an indoor facility, which it really has to be, but it's an older one. They're talking about a new stadium, but then there's the argument about how many Rays fans are there. There are other sports that are big, the Buccaneers, of course, the NFL always rules. And also you've got a popular hockey team here, the Tampa Bay Lightning, a.k.a. the Bolts. But bravo to them, because a lot of people came out to watch. They got some excitement going with the streak, and that's wonderful. Be safe, be sane, be happy. See you again next time.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. China has been running a secret police station in New York City. Breon Peace is a top federal prosecutor.
These defendants did China's bidding in secret while acting under the direction and control of an MPS official in China.
The facility was used by the Chinese government to track down and intimidate dissidents and activists. Charges have been filed against at least two Chinese suspects in that case. The Defense Department said today there could be more classified documents circulating online. They made the announcement while saying they're still assessing the scope and scale of the original leak of classified documents. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered a comprehensive review of the measures taken to protect classified information. And Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts is now the highest paid player in NFL history. Hurts and the Eagles agreed to a new 5-year deal worth up to $255 million. John Schaefer, USA News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We have Candy Mama, the author of the book, with us. She's in our virtual green room as we motor through here on Author's Corner with me, Kate Delaney, part of America Tonight. So, Candy Mama, I love that name. That's a great nom de plume, as they say. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
So, what was it that drove you to write this book? What motivated you to write Lacey's Room?
Okay, well, I guess I can start by saying I struggled for many years of infertility, and by God's hand, he sent me, as I fondly refer to them, as my godchildren, and I had the honor of helping raise three beautiful girls. I met Lacey's mother through a church I was attending, and my best friend there was her calculus teacher, and she spoke about how intelligent she was and that she'd been missing from her class. And it was rumored that her mom had kicked her out of her home and she was living in the woods somewhere. So my friend and I were having lunch and I said, what are we doing here? Let's go and find this child. And so we went and searched and found her at a rundown trailer park, and we brought her home and took turns with caring and encouraging her. And then events led up to her becoming pregnant. And she wanted an abortion, and I took her to the clinic and asked God to help me, you know, find the words to say to her. And I promised her that I would help her raise her child. And to my amazement, she stood up and said, let's go home. And so with that, I was a witness to the miracle of the birth of Lacey. And she just grew up with so much love and support, but not as much as she gave everyone who knew her. And I guess as years went by, she planned to become a marine biologist, and something that just overwhelmed me by the love she had for the ocean and for what that means to the survival of this planet. But the biggest joy was when she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and I knew he had big plans for her life. And now her oldest niece of 10 years old, she wants to also become a marine biologist, and I just feel that's something that has been orchestrated by God himself again. And so Lacey had touched the hearts of so many, and I just wanted her story to be told. And her favorite song, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I'm listening to you. Yeah, so tell me about her favorite song.
Yes, her favorite song was Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield, and that was my inspiration to tell her story. And
wow.
I just hope all that who read it come to realize that blood-related or not, children need hope and encouragement, and that even if you have to put your own life on hold for a while, it's just the right, sacrificial right thing to do. And I can do all things in God who strengthens me, and that's, you know, where the story all began.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you talk about this right at the very top, Natasha Bedingfield's song, Unwritten, like you say, is the water, and you talk about what a privilege and an honor to be Lacey's godmother, and, you know, it's interesting, I was looking at the inspirations that you have at the very beginning of the book, and you have an Alan Jackson, the singer's, one of his lyrics, if I had to do it all over, I'd do it all over again. If tomorrow I had one more chance to begin, I'd love you all over again. She really filled a hole that you had, didn't she?
She did. She really, really did. And I just can't tell you how much she inspired me to just become a better person. And, you know, I just don't know where my life would have gone without her. I just don't even want to imagine it. I was so, you know, I even had my pastor put me on a prayer list for, you know, to have children, and it just wasn't meant to be. And then one day he just told me that Candy, you know, some mothers were meant to be mothers of a few, and some were meant to be mothers of many. And if you had your own children, you might not be doing this, you know, this mission that God's called you to.
Right. So tell me a couple of stories. Tell me a couple of stories from the book. We're not going to give it all away. You got to get the book, read it. It'll inspire you in a lot of different ways, I think. But tell us a couple of stories.
Okay, well, one of my favorite chapters there is called Friday the 13th. And I had a friend in Colorado. Well, she was from Atlanta, and she got a job as a physical therapist in Colorado, and, you know, she had known I'd been trying to have children, and she told me, you know, I just needed to come there and relax, and, you know, many people say that, and so I was afraid of flying. I had been on the plane before going to the British Virgin Islands, and there was such a storm, and, oh, the plane was just rocking and rolling, and I just prayed to God, if you just land this plane safely, get me back home, I'll never get on another plane. And so during this time, my pastor was preaching a sermon that day about superstition and, you know, how we shouldn't be superstitious and all of these things. And so I had told him about my friend wanting me to come to Colorado and this promise that I had made to God that I'd never get on another plane. And he said, well, you know, Candy, God knows that we make promises sometimes and, you know, things that he knows we mean well, but he wants you to see the majesty, you know, some of the beautiful things that he's created here on this earth for us to see. And he had just been to Colorado and He said how beautiful it was, and he really thought I would enjoy being out there. And so he introduced me to a girl there in the church who was a travel agent. And so I talked to Trudy and, you know, made some plans, and I prayed about it really hard. And so anyway, she had gotten me these tickets, and just out of my mouth, I said, okay, I'm going to go, you know. And so the next Sunday at church, I was excited to see and tell my pastor, you know, that I had made these plans. And so he said, okay, I'm so happy for you, and you're going to love it. And so I showed him my tickets, and the tickets read, leaving on Friday the 13th, row 13, leaving at 7:13. And his eyes just got so big. He said, Candy, if anything happens to you, I'll never forgive myself. So that was pretty funny. So that week we had a vacation Bible school, and I had taken some T-shirts to the kids there and some puff art. It was real popular at that time. And so the kids were painting on their shirts, you know, flowers, verses, just a number they might like, something. And so mine, I made myself a T-shirt to wear on the plane, and it said, Colorado or heaven, whichever comes first. And so I wore that shirt on the plane, and everybody just, like, looked at me like, oh, this girl is crazy. But I made it there, and, you know, just had some time to reflect. The mountains were beautiful. It was all just so beautiful. So it kind of shows that I had the faith that God would land me safely. And, you know, it just shows that we can't be superstitious, and we need to go for things and see some of the beauty of the world. So I'm still a little bit afraid of flying, because I thought, okay, well, he got me there and back that time.
There you go. And that's a great story. And you have so many stories like that in this book. And again, it's called Lacey's Room. We're speaking with Candy Mama. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you can pick up books, of course. And ultimately, and you're weaving it in this conversation, you know, we have a minute left. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I just hope that they know how important children are in our life. And, you know, again, like I said, blood related or not, just that it's important, because the kids are our future. And we need to make sure that they at least get a fighting chance, you know, and raise them in the word, and, you know, give them that fighting chance, like I said, because, you know, the world is so difficult. It's so crazy right now, and there's so much badness in the world, but there's also a lot of good. And, you know, you can only draw the strength from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just hope that people will take a second look at even children in their families or neighbors, children. You know, there's so many single moms out there, and, you know, give those moms a helping hand.
Mm, what a great thought. Give people a helping hand, and it's that whole idea of it is a village, certainly. All right, Candy Mama, thanks so much. Good luck with the book, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. And, Kate, may I also add that I have another book called Katie's Kitchen that's a sequel to Lacey's Room. It's being published as we speak, and a collection of my poems called Flowers from My Garden. And they're also inspirational poems that I hope everyone will enjoy.
Perfect. So more to look forward to. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Kate. And have a blessed day.
Thanks, you too.
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
All right, boy, these are two really special people, and their story is, I think, one that has some pretty interesting takeaways, not just for kids, by the way, but I think for older people as well. And the book we're talking about is Young Vikings and the Quest for Asgard. So think about Vikings and think about what you can conjure up in your mind, and you might be totally wrong about what the book's about. But we're going to find out as we talk to the Hardens. Susan and Scott Harden join us. They have such an interesting background. Susan's a school counselor, and Scott teaches all the sciences, so I would have probably been a very bad student for him, but I would have tried really hard. It's so lovely to have you both on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you very much for having us.
So let's talk about what was the impetus for this book. And Scott, let's start with you, because you had an interesting story to tell me off the air about how this all came about. So why did this book materialize?
Kate, it was a story I had in my mind, and it wasn't enough story to be a book, but it was kind of the beginnings of a book. And I spent 2 to 3 years of writing the story down, just in legal pads. And I wrote a little each day, and I would write and think of something else and write a little bit more. But I had that story in mind, and the characters began to evolve with the personalities of my own children. As that happened, I kind of finished up the getting down the main idea of the story and asked my wife to read it and look at it and see what she thought. And she began to embellish on a lot of the details and do a lot of research to make things I guess, more accurate, historically accurate, and mythologically accurate, as it is based a lot in Norse mythology.
So, Susan, for you, when you got involved in this project and you did the research, what did you find out? Was there anything that surprised you in that research?
I think the one thing that surprised me is they didn't have horns on their helmets. That was the one thing that surprised me.
No kidding, because that's how we always visualize it, certainly, and there's always so many pictures that should depict that, and obviously that isn't right. So tell us about, Susan, tell us about the story.
Well, it's about three children, and their village is attacked, and they can't find their parents. They actually see them being taken off, and so they decide, instead of sitting around, they decide to go on a quest to find their parents and to find Asgard and get them back. And through that journey, they come across different characters, and they learn different things from each event. And then when they get there, they have to fight the gods to get their parents back. But the way they fight the gods is with
intellect rather than muscle.
It's a battle of wits.
Ooh, a battle of wits. I like it. It had to be fun to write this. Was it fun to pull this together, Scott? And especially, as you said, and, you know, Susan backs up, so much of this is based on your own kids. What a cool thing.
Susan often remarks, I'll laugh suddenly just for no apparent reason. She says, are you making yourself laugh over there? And that's kind of the way it was when I was writing the book. I'd write down something, and then I would kind of laugh at it and be amused and go back and read through it, and then I'd laugh again. She said, what in the world are you laughing at? But then she would read it and find the humor in what I'd written, which hopefully translates to other people as well.
Yeah, and I think it does, absolutely, from my point of view. Susan, so what do you, I'm going to ask you both this, but what do you hope the takeaways are for any children who read this, or like I said before, adults could read this as well. What do you hope they take away from it?
Well, I hope they relate to each of the children have different personalities. So I'm hoping they can relate to at least one of them, if not more of them, and how they come together and how they work together to go on this quest and how they pull from each other's strengths. I don't want to give too much away.
That's right. You have to buy the book. Get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. So, Scott, would you just add to that and say kind of the same thing, right?
I would. I think that people should see a sense of family with these siblings and the love that they had for their parents and their parents have for them, and that should be evident, I think.
So when I think about what you both do for a living, and I think about when I was a kid, what it would be like if my counselor or my science teacher wrote a book. Are you like rock stars in school?
I don't know.
You know, that's funny because somebody asked me what I had to do this afternoon, another teacher, and I said, well, I'm going to go home. And then he said something about a Viking. And I said, you know, it's funny you say that because that's what I'm doing this afternoon. I have an interview about our book. In hopes, you know, of promoting it to be transformed into a movie. And he said, you know, we've been teaching together for 15 years. I've never heard anything about this before. And I said, well, you know, I just don't like to count my chickens before they're hatched, so to speak. I haven't really promoted. I don't think I've told. I told him, I said, I don't think I've told anybody but you today. I might have mentioned it to our librarians a few years ago, but
I told a few, and when they find out, they're interested. They're like, oh, really? Tell me more about it. And I tell them, and then I'm like, okay, here, this is where you go to find it and buy it, you know.
Right.
And I think they're interested. They're interested in the story, and I think they're interested in that we actually took the step to put our thoughts in a book and to create this story together.
Yeah.
I agree. The people I've mentioned it to, that seems to be what they're most impressed with, is that you didn't just start a book, you finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you had an idea.
And you did it together, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this, I can only see this adventure continuing to grow. And I asked you this off the air, but Susan, do you see more books in the future?
Definitely. He usually writes the foundation of it, and I'd love to see what he comes up with. And then, of course, he is great to let me throw my input in there, and it evolves. And I'd love to go on another adventure and write another book.
I like that. That's a good answer. And I would imagine the kids would enjoy it, too, because that's important here. What do the kids think of the book?
Well, our daughter, actually, she was in the car on traveling, and she said, I'm going to read the book. And she read it a few years earlier, but she read it again, and she laughed outside, out loud, and then she cried at the end of it.
Aww.
Not that it's sad at the end, just she cried because she was just so moved by it.
Right, and I love that. And I guess it was Scott that mentioned this, because the first thing that pops into my head, too, is that it's the family, right? And that you're using wits, and you mentioned that. It's using the wits instead of brawn, because naturally that's what you think of. But yet it's so often wits that get you out of certain circumstances. And both of you know that as teachers. Am I right about that? What a brilliant stroke there. Was that your idea, Scott?
It's just sort of the way the story evolved.
So when you sat down and you put that foundation together before you slid it over to Susan, who then went to work on it, digging around and adding some of the history and making sure it was all right, you just kind of knew, boom, this is good. This is going to work.
Right. And if you think, you know, if these gods existed, you know, Thor and Odin and all of these different deities, that, you know, a mortal could not compete with them physically without being able to outwit them some way.
And yeah. Then the children on top of it.
Right.
Right, right. Because what you think about children and what would they do? What would be the natural instinct for them to do? And I think it's interesting because it's the opposite of Marvel, for example. But yet they still have to use their wits, but they have the brawn. So I love the idea of these young Vikings in the quest for Asgard and going on this adventure and waiting to see, you know, what happens next. And so you obviously enjoy doing this together, right?
Yes, we do.
Very much.
That's a good thing. What if you disagree on a character? Do you just kind of, do you flip for it or do you play a game of Uno?
I don't know. I think we kind of explain, well, this is what I'm seeing. And he says, well, this is what I see in the character and this is why. And we're like, oh, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. You know, we just talk about it. We've been married 30 years, you know, it just.
It's all the same anyway.
That's good. It's good. I love your story. And this is such an interesting tale. Young Vikings and the Quest for Asgard. I mentioned it before, but you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you both very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kate,
very
much.
For having us.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.